is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
No way!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive. I'm your host, Brad Bigney, and I've got my wife, Vicky, helping us dig into it today.
Hello, we're back.
And we're talking about communication, which means we've broken it down into the two biggest components. Can you speak words effectively? But oh, can you listen to what's coming your way? Too often when people think in terms of communication, like, all right, do I know how to talk? Can I articulate? Can I say what I'm thinking? Can I convincingly persuade someone of what I think? I use words effectively. Great.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only half of the equation.
Right, in which fact, I think, like you said, normally in communication, you just think, can I talk?
Yeah.
But we're leaving out a very huge factor, the whole listening.
Because when you look at God's word wouldn't say it's half of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Your ability to speak is less than half of the equation.
Right.
Because when God gets ready to talk to us about these two components, he puts listening ahead of talking.
Mm-hmm. Good
James 1:19, be quick to speak. No. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So the sense that we get from that verse and other verses in the Bible is that he would like us to listen more than talk. And so we're digging into it. What does it look like to listen? Do you know how to listen? In other words, you should be asking yourself, we've given you some things to ask yourself in the last couple of shows. Do I have the right goal? Do I want to please God? Do I realize the weightiness of words that I'm going to give an account for every word? That's what we saw in Matthew 12. You're going to give an account for every word spoken. Words are powerful to either give life or give death. And now, do I know how to listen? Do I have the capacity to wait, hear them out?
It's really hard.
Hear them out. Oh, I know. Because we so quickly know what we want to say about that. So ask yourself, am I a good listener? Do I give my spouse my undivided focus? And do I know how to hold my tongue and really try to know and understand what they're saying? And hey, don't feel condemned if you have room to grow. We did,
mm-hmm.
and we still do. It's not just what we needed to work on in the past. It's what we still have to work on in the present. Because here's what I've discovered as I try to help other people and as I try to shepherd my own heart. Guess what? Drift is never to a better place or a biblical place.
True.
Drift is always back to what I was doing, my natural default setting. And my natural default setting is to speak quickly and to speak more than I listen. So I have to keep working at this. We found it's helpful to develop. Think in terms of a few ground rules
mm-hmm.
that foster good listening. Here's one. Refrain from doing other, quote, more productive things while your spouse is talking to you. In other words, don't have your spouse following you around the house. You don't even stop doing what you're doing,
right.
but they're trying to tell you something. And right there is the problem. We often think the thing I'm doing right now is more important or productive than listening to them well.
Mm-hmm. And I do think, you know, there's different types of communication. Some communication is easier, like, you know, I'll take the kids to school at 7:30, soccer games at Sailor Park at 4. But especially when you get into things that are more difficult to communicate, like you're trying to share or communicate what's bothering you in your life or even about, your spouse or one of the kids, that's definitely going to take it to this next level of refrain from doing other more productive things. And I think for us, when we have something we need to talk about that's, you know, a little more, going to be more in depth than just general information, I'm taking the kids to soccer practice at 4. I have found, we found it's best to, basically, you're not going to be able to have eye contact unless you're actually in the same room. And we found it's even helpful just to sit together on the couch, not even so far apart. Even sometimes, I know it sounds strange, but close proximity, like sitting together on the couch and looking at each other versus I'm sitting in one chair and Brad's way across the room. Just, it just, it's communicating, we're in this together. You've got my undivided attention. I'm ready to listen to you. And sometimes if it's a difficult communication, we'll even hold hands. Because it's hard to be,
but you're just a little more receptive. But two of the biggest things that we allow to keep us from giving undivided attention used to be all I had to harp about was the television. Oh, don't keep looking at the television. Don't keep looking at the TV. Mute it. Put the remote down. I'm telling you what, people, it's the phone now. It's like an addiction. It's like a crack addict that you can't keep from looking at it. Put your phone down and give your spouse your undivided attention. And if you are watching something, you know, sometimes I'm watching a football game or a thriller, mute it, pause it, and give your spouse your, don't keep yelling. The worst thing you could do is, we're still guilty of it sometimes, something huge.
No, not anything
huge. We start trying to have this conversation in two different rooms.
I'm putting makeup on in my bathroom.
He's like, hey, honey.
And I'm
just listening to it through the walls as it echoes its way back to the master bathroom. That is not a great way to have a conversation.
Right. Even in non-important things, it doesn't work.
So refrain from thinking there's something more productive. I've got to keep digging this hole, or I've got to keep watching this game, or I've got to keep scrolling my phone. No, you don't. So if you want to have good communication and you want to show that you're a good listener, stop whatever else it is you're doing. Here's the second thing. Catch yourself when your mind starts to churn out rebuttals as they speak. Oh, one of the worst things you can do is finish someone's sentence and rush the conversation. Don't hijack the topic they want to talk about.
Right.
And just jump in and take it in a new direction, especially if your spouse is lamenting or sorrowing. I know you might think, oh, but this shows them I can relate. I think people don't realize how hurtful it is when you jump in and they're talking about, I'm making this up now, but the pain of wisdom tooth that was taken out, and you just jump in and say, oh yeah, I had all four taken out. And here's what the doctor said. And here's that. You've stopped listening to them.
Right.
And now
it's a more roundabout way, but
you've
the bottom line is you're
it.
Not really listening.
And oh, by the way, notice how you made it clear. They've just had one. I had four. All four were taken out. That's not the fruits of good listening. And in a sense, I already kind of indicated that. Don't hijack it, and certainly don't top the tale. If they say, oh, da, 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 and whatever story they're telling, you have a story that's
bigger. I had
bigger,
a hard day. Oh,
better.
So did I. This is what happened with my boss.
Yeah. It's not good listening. I mean, and it's hard because I have to work at this. You can imagine, once you live six decades, I've lived six decades and more, you probably, perhaps, have an example similar to what they're going through, and it pops to your mind immediately. Good listening and love and wanting to have a good relationship means you hold that back and you do not start to tell your story.
Yeah, you hear the person
that you
out
think
fully.
Is just like what they're going through. Because it really doesn't matter. They don't want to know that you have a story just like that. They want to know, are you listening? Are you really listening? One of the best things you can do is summarize what you think you've heard. That shows that you're listening.
Yeah, that takes it to a whole new level.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say is, so is this what really bothers you about that? That really shows that you're listening. In other words, it's the practice of playing back what you think you heard, because you would be amazed how many times this can clarify misunderstandings.
Right.
We talked about it in an earlier show. All of us listen with a filter. Mm-hmm. And so you do not hear as accurately as you think you are hearing what your spouse just said. How are you going to know? How are you going to know if you heard it right? Summarize it.
Right.
And bring it back to them.
And that shows a totally different level of listening mm-hmm. than normally you're getting.
Because notice, you're using words now to simply reframe and summarize what they said. You're not adding a new component. You're not saying right. what you think. You're still keeping it on what your spouse.
You're seeking to understand what they just That's said. Right. And it really communicates an attentiveness when you try to tell them. So are you saying blah, blah,
That's
blah
right.
about, you know, going to grandma's for Christmas or whatever it is?
And, you know, just in life in general, think about how infrequently that happens to you.
Yeah.
You're talking to a coworker, you're talking to a neighbor, you're talking to your spouse, you're talking to someone at church.
Yeah.
And instead of them saying something next mm-hmm. in response to what you just said, they choose to use their first words to simply summarize what you mm-hmm. said and say, so are you saying, and is this what you're really trying to get at?
And you really feel heard and
really
seen by that person. And you want to be around them.
You
like,
really
let
do.
Me spend more time with you.
Oh, we're going to take a break. But when we come back, and you're going to want to come back, I'm going to give you an acrostic that I've been using in my prayer journal now for 20 years that I memorized that you could use in your marriage to help you listen well.
An acrostic, folks, it's coming.
Oh, come back for the acrostic.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Bicky in just a moment as they continue to talk about communication and the way you communicate in your marriage. The hardest part of that is actually listening instead of just waiting for your turn to talk. Let me share with you something else that says a whole lot about communication. Fortis Plus is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, stuff on marriage and parenting and theology and biblical manhood and biblical womanhood. This is content that helps you grow spiritually. We're adding new content every single day. It's not content that we curated 6, 10, 12 years ago, and we want you just to watch it over and over and over again. No, we're adding to it every day, and our resources are absolutely free of charge. That's right. They are free for everybody. There aren't levels to this. We don't hide behind a paywall and give you a 30-day free trial. No, they're free from day one, and they'll be free forever. Now, more on that in just a moment, because I want to tell you why they're free and how they're free. But before I do that, I want to tell you how to get access to the content that we're creating on Fortis Plus. All you have to do is download the app. Just go to your app store where you download apps on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Now, back to that question. Why is this stuff free? How is this stuff free? Well, it's because of people just like you. Men and women who have been impacted by the content Fortis Institute is creating, so much so that they decided that they wanted to stand with us so that we would have the ability to create more content and then push it out to more places all over the world. So more people have the ability to have access to it. Now that might be you, and we would be honored to stand with you if it is. One caveat, are you giving faithfully to your local church? Answer that question honestly, because if you're not faithfully giving to your local church, then we don't want you giving to our ministry. Does that sound harsh? We don't mean it to be harsh, but we mean it to communicate to you that your church is your number one giving priority in your life. And so if that area of your life needs some attention, take care of that. Then once you do, come back and see what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. You can get all of the questions to all of the answers that you have at fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Brad and Vicky. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, we're back. And we're talking about what would help your marriage thrive. And it's more than a planned vacation. It's more than a shared hobby. It's more than adding another child to your home. It's, do you know how to communicate? And if you do know how to communicate, it means you know how to listen. But too often, we don't even think listening. We think that's in a separate category, where here's communication, and that's people who listen well, but that's optional. Listening is never optional. If you don't know how to listen, what you say next won't be that helpful. And it won't be on target. It'll be misguided. So we've been digging into listening, and I promised you before we took a break, going to give you an acrostic.
Woo-hoo!
I've been using this for 20 years, and it's an acrostic for listen. So if you need to get a piece of paper and a pen to capture this, you got a piece of paper and pen, babe?
I'm ready.
Then get ready. L, look him or her in the eye. And we touched on that. Don't be guilty of still trying to dig the hole you were digging and doing the landscaping while you're like, Don't keep watching the college football game. Mute it, pause it. Don't keep glancing at your phone. Give them your, look them in the eye.
Eye contact.
Inquire by asking, tell me more. Inquire. Nothing causes someone to feel heard quite like when they take a breath. You don't just start saying what you want to say now. It's
right. Very good
Inquire.
Point.
S. Oh, this is big for guys. Stop interrupting with your solutions. Now, it could go both ways with ladies. It might be something that pops into your mind, or you're trying to top the story, or you'd like to move it in a different direction. But stop interrupting with your, whatever it is, your own story or your solution to what they're telling you.
And it doesn't mean we don't ever want to hear a solution, but not initially. Just let us talk it out with you.
T. Before we took a break, I was talking about this. Tell them what you think you heard and see if you're right. Summarize it. Can you you will not be able to summarize it and get it right if you weren't listening carefully. So T, tell them what you think you heard. So you're saying E, express sympathy. Do you realize a lot of real listening, when you do finally choose to respond, the person, and your spouse is one of these, they would love to just know that you care.
Someone has heard me.
Yeah. Nothing says you've been heard like, oh, I am so sorry that is happening to you. I got to be honest, even as a pastor and counselor, since I'm not like huge measures of mercy and compassion.
What?
Yeah. I had to learn this, and I do it far more now. And I believe that it's so important. So often in counseling now, early 20 years ago, I was in such a hurry to tell them things I knew, even from God's word. But I'm going to tell you some things from God's word that apply to what you just said. Guess what? They don't care what you have to say, even from God's word, until they know that you care about them. And so I take so many more opportunities now to just look at them and say, I am so sorry. When they take a breath, I'm so sorry that that happened to you. That never should have happened to you. Yeah. We live in a fallen, broken world. I am sorry.
Yeah, I think of that little phrase that says, people don't care how much you know.
That's right.
Until they know how much you care.
Yeah.
So I think that's most appropriate.
So often you can just be guilty of thinking, well, whatever. Do I need to tell them I'm sorry? That's hard. Yeah, you do. Express sympathy. And then we kind of touched on it. Never look at your phone, at the TV, at something else. So look them in the eye. L.
Those are good.
I. Inquire by saying, tell me more. Draw them out. In other words, instead of thinking you've heard enough and you're ready to say what you want to say, draw them out. Tell me more. S, stop interrupting, whether it's with your solution or your bigger story. T, tell them what you think you heard. Summarize it. See if you're right. E, express sympathy. And N, never look at something else, whether it's your phone, whether it's the television. We're talking about how you could actually be a good listener. Because until you're a good listener, you won't be a strategic or effective or fruitful talker. And so that's why the Bible makes far more about listening and puts it ahead of talking. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Well, let me give you another component that is a huge part of communication. I can't tell you how many times I'll have someone say in counseling, well, all I said is, and they want to literally point to the sentence, the words, and guess what? It matters how you say what you say. Do you realize it's not just your words? It's the tone as you said them. And guess what? It's facial expression and body language as you said it. And guess what? Sociologists and psychologists that spend hours and hours and hours doing research on this have actually determined your actual words, get this, are actually only 40% of communication.
So these other things matter.
Guess what? 60%. It's not like it sort of matters. It matters way more. Tone, facial expression, timing. This 60% matters a lot.
Mm-hmm. I know when you said you must know that communication involves more than just words. Sometimes we're in groups and we can't use our words. I remember one time we were eating dinner at someone's house and I was across from Brad. And he started going in some direction that I thought.
Early in our marriage.
Early. Yes, that's true. Early. I remember thinking, ooh, he shouldn't say this or that's going to go where it shouldn't go. And so I started kicking him under the table gently, but like, and him being very little just said, why are you kicking me under the table? And I was like, I think I said, because I don't think you should be talking about
like
this right
now. It
was
like the third or fourth time. And so I finally just looked at her and said, why do you keep
kicking me under the table?
I'm not a guy you can be subtle with.
Yeah, it takes more than words, but kicks don't always get
it either. If they call my zone,
yes,
I'm getting in line.
It's literal. But that's a good point. I just think tone is so important. You know, is it soft? Is it calm? Is it excited? Is it warm? Is it sincere versus angry or sarcastic? Wow, that's sarcasm really gets us into trouble.
Because, I mean, think about it. You can say the same sentence and with different emphasis and tone. You think about this. Take the phrase, could you please come here? If you put on an angry face, shake your index finger and put a great deal of emphasis on the word please, listen how that sounds. Could you please come here?
Mm-hmm.
Now you can say, you know, and here's what happens to me. I'm in counseling and someone says, I just said, could you please come here?
Right.
But notice in real time when they did it, what you emphasized, what your face looked like, that communicated,
your tone, your vibe,
it communicated
expression.
That you're put out, you're angry, and it's kind of dismissive.
Yeah. And I think even you hit on something, even our facial expressions, how we're looking at our spouse. I think in times of non-conflict, even like if Brad and I are at some event and we're usually, you know, talking to different people, but if I just look across the room and make eye contact, that's very comforting. That's very encouraging to think, okay, we're both, you know, seeing each other. He knows I'm here. I know he's there. But I just saw a video on Instagram recently and it talked about it. I sent it to Brad because it was just so moving.
Made me cry.
It made me cry too. Why do we always cry? We're getting too old.
We're getting old.
But it showed a video of spouses at an airport or at work seeing their spouse across
like
the room
their spouse showed
for the
up
first
at work
time.
And he's a bartender or he's a server in a restaurant or he's.
And it was so interesting because I knew it was going to happen, but I thought, this man looks so hard and cold and callous. There's no way he's going to respond well when he sees his wife or girlfriend or whoever it
and
is.
And the camera is zoomed in on the person who's about to see their spouse and doesn't expect to see them there.
Right.
And we're not talking they've been serving in Iraq for 3 years and now
this
they're
is
home.
Just,
we're just talking everyday life.
In a while.
And it was shocking. The camera would be on some guy that you would think, oh man, he looks mean, or oh, he does not look friendly.
I can't wait to see him change his face.
And
he
kid
would.
You not, he would light up.
He would like soften.
Up,
yeah.
Just light up. And, but I tell you what's going on there. Your face is a reflection of your heart.
Yeah.
And so what that says is, I guarantee you, they tested this out on some whose faces did not light up.
Yeah.
If you are bitter, and if you already have decided ill thoughts towards your spouse, your face does not light up.
Kind of like we said before, if you're looking through that grid that's off key.
And that doesn't mean everything's perfect in their relationship.
Right.
Everything's not perfect in ours. But when your heart is largely for your spouse and you're more focused on what you're grateful for and you have eyes to see what you appreciate, when you see them, your heart is stirred and your face awakens and expresses that. I'm grateful that, that is true of me. When I see Vicky, when I just see her come into the auditorium, this is a big auditorium we have. If I just catch sight of her, because I always go early and I'm there for all the services. And
the
she's
crack
not,
of dawn, he's there,
I
folks.
Mean, it just lights me up. And one of my favorite things to do is whoever I'm talking to, I'm usually trying to find new people in it. I'm like, have you ever met my wife? And I'll point across the room and like, see the one in the baby blue sweater and short haircut?
Sometimes they'll say, that's a new sweater she's wearing.
I'm like, that's my wife. That's my wife. My heart stirred, my face lit up, and I wanted to interrupt and change the subject for a moment and just say, that's my wife.
Our countenance matters.
And it's not just that we have a perfect relationship and everything's great, but we have a very different relationship. Oh, it starts with the heart. It leads to the face, countenance, mm-hmm. and it changes the kind of words that come out of your mouth. For your marriage to begin to thrive, you need to begin to be aware of how are you using words. And it starts with listening. It starts with caring. And it starts with wanting to understand your spouse more than wanting to be understood.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.